Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Find Another Pilot, Part 2. The study began last week with this simple, humorous story, but it makes our point. A plane was delayed for several hours. After the long delay, they finally took off. Once in the air, one of the passengers asked the stewardess what caused the delay. She said the pilot heard a strange noise in one of the engines. It took several hours to get another pilot. We don't want another pilot. We want the engine fixed. And that, of course, is the essence of what we're talking about. Root problems. Not dealing with symptoms, but dealing with root problems. We considered when you go to the doctor, you don't want just a painkiller. You want him to go at the root problem. This is what God wants in our spiritual life. Many things are symptoms. God wants to deal with the problems. The symptoms will take care of themselves. Our focus is in Luke chapter 12, but let's take a moment and review Luke chapter 11. Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. Then he taught the multitudes many spiritual truths. Then he went to the home of a Pharisee, and there he rebuked him for his hypocrisy. And at the end of chapter 11, the scribes and the Pharisees set out to trip up Jesus in his words. Rather than accept what he had to say, they now want to find fault in him. They're hypocrites. Well, we're going to spend part two really reflecting on what Jesus said in chapter 12. In verses 1 through 12, he taught to the disciples and the multitude. And in chapter 12, verse 13, he was interrupted. And therein lies the heart of our message, the interruption. Imagine the multitude there, Jesus standing before them, and he's teaching. And there in the midst is this man. We don't know his name. But he is there, having the appearance of one who came to listen. But it seems that Jesus, as he was teaching, paused, and out comes this, chapter 12, verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. So here we are with Jesus teaching, and this guy all of a sudden yells out, Master, talk to my brother. And everybody kind of looks at this guy. Did you notice that we're all here to hear Jesus speak? This man did not care about anything but his inheritance. He wasn't really listening to what Jesus had to say. I perceive in reading this, he basically looked to Jesus as a lucky charm or a rabbit's foot. I'll try Jesus. Maybe he'll make sure I get my inheritance. But I'm not really there to hear. I can't wait till he pauses, takes a breath, so I can interrupt. Everybody else can wait for my problem. This man's outburst told much about him. If only I could have this inheritance, I would be fine. Really? Does money really make you happy and things? When time is no more, only what we did for Christ will last. God wants us to have life and have it more abundantly, but how often are we consumed with the things of this world? So as we consider, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Jesus gave a very thought-provoking response. In verse 14 of Luke 12, he said this, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? This man apparently had a deep-rooted problem. This idea of covetousness and this inheritance did not happen overnight. I perceive from this it must be a formidable inheritance, otherwise he wouldn't be worried about it. But he was very concerned about this. And now that this inheritance has come to be a reality, apparently either the father is dying or has died, this has provoked him to deal with a deep sin in his life. And this is how God works. First of all, we got to see the symptom. Hey, my inheritance. And then reality. You're not seeking the things of God. You're worried about money. Jesus responds with a very thought-provoking question. Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. He calls Jesus Master, which by definition means Jesus is his master. But he tells his master what to do. Do you see a problem here? Who's the boss? How many times do we tell God what to do? Lord, you are not handling this properly. It manifests itself as worry. We are not handling it well, and we don't think God is. God, if you would only listen to me. This is where this man is. He is telling Jesus what to do. And so Jesus responds, who made me the one who can judge and divide over you? You call me master. You want me to step in and handle this situation, but you're telling me how to do this and what to do. Who is the master here? Christians, we are not to tell God how things are to be. How fitting is the hymn, it is well with my soul. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Provided you divide the inheritance properly with me. I want you to stop, and we're going to consider, again, the teachings that Jesus said, starting at verse 1 up until the interruption, with the understanding, if this man would have been listening, he would have not burst out and asked. In essence, Jesus was dealing with his situation, but he was so preoccupied, he didn't hear a word Jesus said. At the end of chapter 11, Jesus had dealt with the Pharisee hypocrites, and they were hypocrites, so he starts at this meeting now with these people, Luke 12:1, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch they trode one upon another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So he is warning in his teachings. I perceive from reading this that the disciples were there, but apparently so was the crowd. He begins talking to the disciples, and I assume that the people assemble and they're listening to this. Look out for hypocrisy. Someone who has the appearance of righteousness, but it's by their own terms, their own definition, their own standards. That's what these Pharisees were, straining at gnats and swallowing camels. This man shows up, oh yes, I'm looking for Jesus to take care of my life. And matter of fact, I know I'm going to tell him exactly what he's going to do. He had an appearance of learning. He was among the crowd, but he did not hear anything. As Jesus taught along this concept of hypocrisy, it's when a person's acting. It's really what the root word comes down to, hypocrisy, as an actor. But one day, everything is going to be known. If you think you're getting away with your ruse, forget it. Verse 2, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. If you're a hypocrite, you may as well get over it because it's going to be made known. Neither hid that shall not be known. Verse 3. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. We could pause on that one, couldn't we? Are you ready to have played back everything you ever said? One day everything will be made known. If you're a hypocrite, you will be exposed. If this man would have known this, would have heard this teaching, he would have realized, you know what? I'm here for the wrong reasons. I'm really not here to hear Jesus. I have a form of godliness. Jesus is saying in verses 2 and 3, everything's going to be made known, even if your brother cheats you out of your inheritance. But he didn't hear this teaching. Verses 4 and 5, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that they have no more they can do to you. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him, God, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Would you be more afraid of your eternal destiny than you would somebody that can kill you or take your inheritance? Don't worry about that. But he didn't hear that. How about this one? Then Jesus taught that God knows everything about you. Verse 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. If God knows how many hairs on your head, do you think he cannot take care of whether you get an inheritance or not? He knows what you need, but we didn't hear that. Every sparrow that falls to the ground, God attends their funeral. What are we worried about? We are worth more than many sparrows. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. He didn't hear this. Verse 8. He teaches about denial and confession. And also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, will you stand for me first and foremost? Him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Would you rather have recognition by God before the hosts of heaven or your brother's inheritance that's going to perish away? He that denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Stand for God and he'll see to it that you're taken care of. But this man didn't hear that. He was so preoccupied with the things of this earth. This is not talking about loss of salvation. This is talking about like Peter. When you know God as your Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior, Peter knew that. Thou art the Christ. But did he deny him? 3 times. He didn't lose his salvation, but boy, did he lose his fellowship. You're on your own, Peter. Handle this one. And finally, Peter wept bitterly. Oh, God, did I blow it. He didn't lose his salvation. He lost his fellowship. But that man didn't hear these teachings. Who made me a judge and divider over you? He just can't wait to have Jesus handle his matter his own way, and that's enough of God. I'm on my way. Wonder what this man was thinking, if he was thinking at all. Jesus taught, obey the Holy Spirit because he's your guide. Verse 10, whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take no thought how or what ye shall answer or what ye shall say. Here it is. The Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour. The Holy Ghost, if he can explain and guide and direct and fill you with the words before magistrates, do you think he can take care of your inheritance? But he didn't hear that. The Holy Spirit guides in matters of life. The matters that are true value and of importance, God is going to lead, and He'll care down to the point of what you need daily. Seek first the kingdom of God. This man is seeking first my inheritance. The Holy Spirit would guide if we would only let Him. But he didn't hear that. Here Jesus Christ tells him, the Holy Spirit will guide you, and he blurts out, Master! And Jesus gives him a thought-provoking question, Who made me a judge or divider over you? Did you hear anything I just said? Do you think the Holy Spirit's guiding? No, no, no. This man is not a servant. He is treating Jesus like a servant. You will do this for me. And yet God wants to guide and lead and direct all of us through the Holy Spirit if we will only listen. Will our paths sometime go through the valley of the shadow of death? Yes, it will. Our inclination is to run from or through the valley of the shadow of death, but we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I want you to remember this. It doesn't say we live there. It's for a time, and we will come out the other side. Just walk, and God will guide us. Take a look at verse 14. I do believe that this multitude is there with the disciples, this man. Now consider verse 14. And he said unto him, personally. All right? If you're here to hear my word in my direction, I will speak personally to you. Man, whoever you are, and of course Jesus knows everything, he knew who he was. Is God talking to you? I do hope that's why you're here. Verse 15, and he said unto them, so he focuses on one. This man made an outburst in front of the crowd. He said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness. That's in essence where this man is. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Don't worry about an inheritance. And then he goes on and speaks through a parable about covetousness. Now, whether this man ultimately listened or not, we do not know. I think that open-ended truth causes us to truly reflect on our own lives. Are we truly listening? Or are we like this man, so absorbed with our things of life, if only I had an inheritance, it would be okay, instead of, if only I would have heard what Jesus taught. This man did not know his real need. Did you ever go somewhere? And the truth is, whatever, you're going for some advice, you, if I can use the expression, you're too stupid to even ask the questions. You're too uneducated to be able to ask, I don't even know what to ask. You go to class, remember many years ago, for most of us, and you're in school, and the teacher comes into the classroom and has a curriculum laid out. She doesn't sit there, or he doesn't sit there and say, okay, everybody, just start asking questions. What don't you know about algebra? You wouldn't even know what to ask. I have no idea what to ask. So the teacher starts going down in progression, presenting the material. This is why we need to listen. Many times we don't know what the problem is, to even ask the right questions. This man would have a show. And if you were to confront him on this, well, first of all, I am coming to Jesus. He is my master. At least I call him that. And I am asking him for direction in this very important matter of life. Not realizing that's really not the important matter. Spiritual things are the matter. Are you listening? There's the story told of the church looking for a new pastor. And the man comes, and he preaches a message, and they say, yes, this man is who we want. So they bring him in as the pastor. The next week he gets up, and he preaches the exact same message. Well, the people thought this is kind of odd, but probably moving to get settled in his house, he didn't have time to prepare another message. So they overlooked it. The next week, he preaches the exact same message. And they thought, really, this is weird. The fourth week, he preaches the same message again. And the board gets together and they call him aside and they say, listen, that's really a great message, but you've preached it four times. And he said, I know. And when I see the people respond, I'll go on to the next one. James chapter 1, verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Are you doing something with the word of God? Or are you just taking it in? You know, I have to wonder, this man did come to Jesus about an inheritance. Could it be that he actually understood the Old Testament laws concerning the firstborn brother and how things were passed and blessed unto him? Could it be that he was challenging this? Well, gee, you know, my brother, yes, it's his, but he ought to share. Could it be he was coming to Jesus, the righteous judge, based upon what limited spiritual insight he had? We don't know. But we do know he was off base, and he blurted this answer. Jesus Christ gave a response that caused him to look at the root problem. Who made me your master? Who do you think you are? This seems unrelated. And yet it was very related to the root problem. Is God doing something in your life that seems to be completely unrelated to spirituality, and yet it's pointing to a root problem? His reaction speaks volumes about his real intent. It was reflecting a deeper problem. Hey, I need some of that money too. No man can fake a reaction. We can fake an action. That's called hypocrisy. But we cannot fake a reaction. Therefore, may I encourage you, when you react to something in life, it is screaming who the real you is. That's not right. My brother owes me an inheritance. And we take it to the Lord. And it's well we should, but don't be surprised when he asks you a question to consider yourself. You know what it all gets down to once again? Our thinking. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, his innermost being and convictions, so is he. His foundational thinking was covetousness, money, not God. And as he thought, he was so preoccupied in his thinking, he didn't hear a word Jesus had to say. He couldn't wait till he took a breath and he interrupted. Quote, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. What starts out as a simple thought may ultimately determine our destiny, even our eternal destiny. The writer of the above statement must have heard or read the words of Solomon in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our thoughts reflect the person we really are. If we have thoughts which are hateful, they will manifest themselves as words, actions, habits. If, however, we fill our hearts with positive things, can anything but good actions result? Paul summed it up in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, conclusion, born again people, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, underline it, think on these things. Thought control. This is it. If we do not change our fundamental thinking by growing in the Lord, we will therefore have outward compliance rather than true Christian growth. This is where this man is wrong. His inheritance caused him to have to come face to face, I have a root problem of covetousness. I want you, as we think about our thoughts, they're to be changed. I have said this over the last few weeks. Why are you here? I hope you're here to hear the Word of God and let it soak in and change your thinking. Not my words, God's words. I want you to consider the idea of your thinking changing and therefore your life changing. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:22 that ye, born again people, put off. There are some things, Christians, you ought to stop doing. Verse 24, that you put on. There are some things you need to start doing. But if that's all your Christianity is I don't do this because I'm a Christian, and I do this because I'm a Christian, you are empty and shallow, and your Christianity is a bunch of do's and don'ts. God truly wants you to, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This man had a mindset, I need an inheritance. And Jesus Christ said, would you think about who's the master here? If you truly allow God's word to start to penetrate your thinking, break down the walls that say, I'm okay just the way I am. Listen, folks, none of us are okay just the way we are. Did you know that this man had no peace because he was tormented by the things of the world? He was so tormented, he would interrupt a whole crowd. Very selfish. Did you know he was not happy for his brother? Brother, I'm very happy that you get that inheritance. Instead, I'm jealous of you. Can't we rejoice with somebody when they get blessed, or do we just get angry? See, this man should have been a servant, but he really is telling God to be his servant. I think we have this a little backwards, don't we? But Jesus Christ, the one who stood before him, gave us the perfect example of a servant. Christian, let this mind. We're back to thoughts. We're back to thinking. And thinking will direct our actions. Let this thinking, this renewed mind, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's because he was God. But he thought and said, you know what? I will be of no reputation. I will take upon me the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and found in the fashion of a man. He humbled his thinking. He put it all aside. He did not say, don't you know who I am? He laid that aside. He humbled himself, and that humility, that thinking, led his behavior to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christian, would you willingly take that mindset on? Dear God, if you want me to suffer to the point of the cross, I will do it. Read Hebrews 11. There were Christians who died for their Christianity. Is something causing you unrest? Probably God is lovingly speaking to you. You have a root problem. Don't get rid of the pilot. Fix the engine. Deal with root problems in your life, not just the symptoms. Did you know God wants the best for you? Verse 1 of 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus just to take him at his word. Do you take him at his word? Just to rest upon his promise. I can't rest. Where's my inheritance? and to know, thus saith the Lord? Verse 4, I'm so glad I learned to trust thee. We do have to learn. Precious Jesus, Savior friend, and I know thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus went on in verses 16 to speak a parable. It's about a rich man who laid down his wealth here on earth. But it says in verse 20, But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. We do not know what day we will leave this earth. We will all leave this earth. How many days do you want to waste in being consumed with the things of this world? It's been illustrated. I don't have the numbers before me, but imagine dollars were seconds. And every second that passed, you lost that much money. You would be very careful that you would take and spend that money before it's lost evermore. That's how our life is. Are you worried? Are you fretful? Are you thinking of the things of the earth? Man, who made me? Stop and think about what you're saying. God wants you to have a wonderful life. Focus on Him. You'll be glad you did. Where does it begin? Salvation. Let that hand represent you, me, and every person. Pastor Holler, you do this every week. Tell me the old story of Jesus and His love. The greatest love this world has ever known or ever will know. That every man is in this world and has a sin debt, and God loves sinners. Praise God. He loves the sinner. He hates the sin. Folks, this is how you begin the Christian life. You don't work your way to heaven with good works. You need to deal with this sin debt God's way, because it's the only way you can deal with it. God loves you. He hates your sin. There's nothing you can do in your flesh to get rid of that sin. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, hung on the cross, paid your sin debt, my sin debt, everybody's, when He went to the cross, shed His blood, gave His life, rose again after 3 days, paid in full. How do you go to heaven? You realize in the quietness of your mind, God loves me, but He hates my sin. And there is nothing that I can do to get rid of my sin debt. If you die with this on you, you will spend eternity separated from God. He doesn't want that. He loves you so much He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to take your sin, my sin, and the sin of the whole world. He gave His life, His blood, His broken body, the perfect sacrifice that satisfied God the Father. It's paid if only we will trust in Him. His work of redemption and that alone, not our good works and Jesus, but Jesus only. For God so loved the world, but He hated the sin, that He gave His only begotten Son to pay the sin debt of the world. Whosoever sinner believes in His work for redemption, and that alone, shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.